Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country, the place about the American's creed. And I'm going to start the show today with the American's Creed. This is the American's Creed by William Tyler Page, and it's words we all need to think about and believe and live in the trying times our country is facing. The American's Creed is, I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy and a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon those principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which I'm patriot. And as such, I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. Now, if you believe in the American's Creed, and you think about that very last sentence in there, and I usually read it twice because I just think it's so important, this is where we're at today. We need to think about if we believe in this country, if we believe in the United States of America, we owe it, it's our duty to our country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. That is what we as Americans should be doing. And that's what I am attempting to do. I am attempting to do what I can to block or dethrone the people who are in office today, who have taken over this country, who have sold us out every which way you can imagine, who are not truly Americans. They may be Americans in some legal sense, but they're not Americans because they don't believe in this country. And with that being said, and I don't know if I actually said this, but I am Sally Duffus, and I'll be your host tonight. And we'll see if Mr. Charlie Klein is going to be joining me here, and possibly Tom Pastore. He said he was going to try and call in because he wanted to talk about a few of these subjects we've got on the plate tonight. First off, we've got to make sure everybody knows it's 2 weeks from this Saturday, October 20th, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., the Freedom from the UN Rally in Tallahassee, Florida. Freedom from the United Nations Rally in Tallahassee, Florida. We have got to make everybody know at the state capitol that we are Americans. We are not under the United Nations. We are a sovereign country, and we refuse to be part of the United Nations. And that we're not going to be dictated to by the United Nations. So it's very important for everybody to be there Saturday, October 20th. There's going to be some excellent speakers there. Victoria Jackson is going to be there. It's going to be an excellent event. And for those who are not very familiar with the role of the United Nations these days, Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, you need to be there because you need to be educated on the stuff. You need to understand what is happening as we speak. Literally, we have a Congress and a state. I mean, this is happening. You've got to understand there's local Agenda 21. There's the massive worldwide Agenda 21, redistribution of wealth. You're not going to be allowed to own property. It's just, it's unbelievable what is happening, the destruction of our country. So we need for everybody to be there. The other thing I wanted to mention, because most people probably don't know it, October 24th. 4 days after we have our rally in Tallahassee is United Nations Day. So I'm hoping that we're going to have some places to protest United Nations Day because I don't think it's an event to celebrate myself. So we might want to see what we can do to have a protest United Nations Day someplace, somehow, some way. So think about that. If you have any ideas, please call in. Which on the subjects we're going to be talking about tonight, which includes we'll give a quick update on the debate. I'm not going to talk too much about that. We've heard enough about that today. But it seems like we have to mention it. And then we're going to give a recap of the corruption of Orange County government, the corruption of what they're doing to our ballot box right here in Orange County. It's just amazing. Right now there are four Orange County elected public servants who should all be removed from office. They should be charged with violating their oath of office. corrupting the elections, taking the rights away, denying people the rights to put things on the ballot, and literally corrupting the outcome of an election, which is good old Bill Cowles, our supervisor of elections here in Orange County. So we're going to talk about that some. Then we're going to get back into the amendments. We said we were going to continue that discussion today as well. And then whatever else happens to come up. There were two groups in reference to the Orange County, the issues with the Orange County corrupting the ballot box, text messaging, their special interest and all this other stuff. There were two groups that were working on putting something on the Orange County ballot, a referendum, requiring employers to pay sick pay, that did not make it to the ballot. I did invite people from both of the groups, Central Florida Jobs with Justice and Organize Now, and they may have somebody call in. They weren't able to schedule anything just yet, but we may hear from them tonight as well. So I'm going to give my quick update on the debate, my opinion, then I'll get Charlie involved here, and then we'll get into what really happened here in Orange County, including the ordeal with Orange County Supervisor of Elections, good old Bill Cowles. But as far as last night's debate, it was okay. I mean, I thought Romney did good. He was ready for it. That's the situation Romney is comfortable in. Excuse me. Comfortable in. I mean, he's the super CEO type person. So you can understand why he would be very comfortable in that environment. When he's out there on the campaign trail speaking to the masses, that's just not his forte. That's just not where he does his best communication. So I thought he did an excellent job communicating. I agreed with most of what he was saying. My only question has been all along is, do I truly trust what he's saying? And so, but when it came to last night, and Obama, President Obama, he really did look like he was clueless. And I really did say, well, see what happens when they don't have that teleprompter telling them what to say. When he has to think on his own, he has some problems with it. So that's another piece of that, too. So that's kind of my take on the ballot, or on the debate, excuse me. And, it was... It probably did help. I think those who were frustrated with Romney felt some reassurance in what he was saying. I thought it was extremely interesting that he brought in the Constitution. So those of us who have been flooding the Republican Party and the various campaign groups to say, you know, it's about the Constitution. Do you believe in it? Because it doesn't seem like it. Looks like maybe they realize they better do that, especially if they want to get any of the Ron Paul people and the true Tea Partiers. True Tea Parties meaning they're about the movement, they're not about a stupid political party or any of that kind of thing. And, I see Tom Pastore has also joined us, so we're going to get him in this discussion in a few minutes here, too. And let me go ahead and get Charlie in here, but there's all sorts of stuff on this Orange County corruption of the ballot box. And we're going to talk about the mayor, Teresa Jacobs, Commissioner Jennifer Thompson, Commissioner Scott Boyd, and then we talk about the direct corruption of the ballot box by the Orange County Supervisor of Elections, literally playing with the machines, not retesting machines that were known to have problems and things like that, which happens to have a personal story with me back in the year 2006. So we'll get to that next. But let me go ahead and get Charlie in here. And Charlie, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing just fine. Let's go to Tom because he might get busy, and I'd like to hear what he has to say.
Okay. Okay, Tom, you are on the air. Which do you want to start with? Because I have everything to do with this Orange County ballot thing between what they did at the Orange County Commission, the Jacobs and Jennifer Thompson and Scott Boyd texting messages to their special interests during a meeting, during a public meeting, and then blocking the people from getting the stuff on the ballot was outrageous. And then we can get into the issue with Bill Cowles.
Well, I was hoping you were going to elaborate a little bit, and good evening, everybody. I was hoping you wanted to elaborate a few more minutes on last night's debate, which I actually watched a good portion of it because I really don't care for all that verbal jousting that goes back and forth because it really doesn't show what they can actually do. But I found last night to be interesting. If we were to point to either one of them as showing the ability to be an executive, it was Mitt Romney. He actually showed that, you know, at least represented through his words. Of course, nobody knows what they really do once they're behind the closed doors of the White House. But he did demonstrate that he had the potential to be an executive. He was, you know, he had the potential to lead. And Obama, and this, I got to say, in a way, we got to thank the mainstream media for this perpetual honeymoon they've been on with him, because they have failed in the last 4 years to challenge anything he's done. He was not ready last night to actually take hard-hitting questions or to take challenging remarks from Mitt Romney. And I think, in part, we can challenge, congratulate the liberal left-wing media that has been honeymooning with Barack Obama for the last 4 years. They have never posed any hard-hitting questions to him, so he wasn't ready. He didn't know how to deal with them. Here's a man who was vulnerable by his own apathy, for his own lack of desire, before his own ego. He had no intention whatsoever to present himself as a leader or executive, because he's never been challenged. So he was essentially a leader with no leadership skills, and nobody ever challenged him. And we can thank in part the media for that, because they didn't give this man on-the-job training. So last night, when it actually happened, somebody challenged him. He studied. He looked angry. He looked annoyed. He looked irritated. He looked like he didn't want to be there. And this is because, you know, he never had none of that on-the-job, tough questioning training like other presidents. So, and we can thank the mainstream, you know, kissing up to Obama for these last 4 years. We can thank the type like Chris Matthews, who lost his tingle up his leg last night. He was having a fit. So here's a man who's now tingle-less, because he doesn't have that same emotional thrust that he had in 2008, which is a bizarre statement for anybody to say, you know, as a supposedly impartial anchor man of his own show, too. He actually said in a ridiculous way, if people recall, that he felt a tingle after Obama spoke. Well, you know, you feel a tingle a lot of times if you're susceptible to a con man who's standing over you trying to sell you a bottle of goods, an elixir, that will cure all, only to find out when you drink it, it does nothing. But such has been the case for the last 4 years. And if they can keep this up, I think it's going to be interesting. I'm actually going to see it now just to see what kind of instructions they're going to be giving Obama for his next head-on confrontation with Mitt Romney, because I'm sure they're going to spark him up a little bit, you know, plug him into an outlet or something and get him going a little bit more, because he was really misdirected last night. So it'll be interesting to see, at least for the verbal jousting. But I was listening to some of the comments and the criticism. There was actually criticisms even on the conservative radio and TV that Mitt Romney didn't give specifics. And I only want to bring this up, and I don't want to bore anybody. I don't want to bring this up because, let's be honest, you can go up there and you can give us a bunch of specifics. You can give us 5,000 words of specifics of what you're going to do, and it doesn't mean a single thing, because it's all hocus-pocus, you know, campaign literature. Once he gets in office, whoever that might be, he has 535 people he has to contend with. So any plan that he may have presented to the people, any feel-good message that's got people's blood pressure going and they're so excited, is an illusion. So quite frankly, why would I want this man? Basically, when you say, give me specifics, you're saying, give me a message that's going to make me feel good, make me believe it's actually going to happen. Because there's no way in the world that either side is going to be able to get installed into the books of legislation in Congress what they actually want to do. Because they have, as I said, 535 other people they have to contend with. And you never get in there what you wanted to get originally. So the specifics to me is just please make me feel good before I vote for you. That's all it is. Because, and I think we ought to stop. Cool, we ought to quit that. It's hocus pocus. It's all carnival song and dance, if you ask me. Because nobody knows what they're going to be able to get through once they're in office. And that's just, it's always been the reality. And I don't know why we demand specifics. I honestly don't get it. But overall, I found the verbal jousting last night to be quite interesting. As you said, if the teleprompter is not in front of Obama, he's totally lost. You know, he one thing he kept trying to do was to inflict misdirected accusations against Romney after Romney repeatedly denied that he wasn't looking for that $5 trillion, that he wasn't going to do anything that was going to create a $5 trillion debt. And yet, four or five times, Barack Obama just kept hitting him with it. It's like an accuser pointing the finger at you, and even when you say, I didn't do it, he just keeps pointing the finger at you. It was amateurish, it was childish of Barack Obama. He refused to move on. He was hoping to distract the public at large with his finger pointing because he has no articles of substance that he can present to the people on what he's going to do, and especially what he has done. So last night was quite interesting. It revealed the true Barack Obama. I don't know if we saw the true Mitt Romney there, but it certainly revealed the true Barack Obama. So I hope I didn't put anybody to sleep there. But
no,
I just wanted
actually,
to get that out.
Yeah, a couple of final points
Charlie.
On that. And I'm sure Charlie's going to opinion about that debate too, but two quick follow-ups. You know, I do find it interesting, and you'd think by now these presidents would, candidates, I should say, candidates would think to say, you know what, this is what I want to do, but you've also got to give me a House and a Senate that's going to work with me. You got to, you know, the president can lead, the president doesn't do, because unlike Obama, I'm not going to be writing executive orders to bypass the Constitution and the Congress. You know what? There should have been, you know, a message out there to that effect. And it was Ross Perot who used to give all the true details. He put his charts up there and all that stuff, and they never give them that kind of option. And these kind of debates, it's truly just lip service, like you said. But it really was telling of Obama. And Obama is the classic. It's like, well, when you can't speak up for yourself, and when what you've done is so crappy or lousy, you can't explain or justify your own behavior or performance, yeah, trash everybody else around you as much as possible. Try to make yourself look good by trashing the others, which is really what his is, because he can't say anything good about his own self. But Charlie, what did you think about the debate last night before we get into the Orange County stuff?
I thought Romney did a great job. Actually, after it was all over and I heard some of the other things, I really thought that Romney aced it. And the thing that's got me going the most is the fact that, one, we have had 4 years of nothing but sending this great country down to hell in a handbasket, and that the basket's darn near burnt up. We're almost in hell. Now, we can go ahead and vote for other people, or we can vote for someone who seems to be going in the right direction. And I know, unfortunately, he is a Republican. And I'm not a Republican, and I don't care for the Republican Party. But I'm putting my hopes in a man who claims that he is of God and of the Constitution. And therefore, I'm going to see what happens in the next two, but right now I'm leaning towards Romney as voting for him. I'm not going to deny him my vote unless something drastically comes wrong in the future, because I really do believe that his love for this great country and God is there, much more so than what we have in the White House now. And I do believe that things will be much better for America with him in office if he can get the Congress to work with him. If not, the lawsuit we have going will actually give him a new Congress, because I do not want to give up on this lawsuit where they failed to pass the budget. But I think the failure to pass the budget also comes from the administration. But we're doing it the right way, and we are going through the houses of Congress, the Senate and the Congress. They are the culprits who have failed to do their job for we the people. But as far as the debate goes, I think he aced it on many occasions last night. And he did give us a path to where he has plans on how to right the ship, so to speak. But we will have two more debates plus all of the speeches we will be hearing but probably not accurately on the mainstream media or lamestream media in this case, because they are the ones, like Tom hit it right on the head, and I was thinking the same thing. The lamestream media being in the tank with the Barack Obama from the very beginning, short of calling them butt kissers, Tom, I will refer to that as, you know, they must have had their nose up the wrong place, that if he would have made a sharp right turn, there would have been a lot of news commentators with their noses out of joint. And you know where the nose would have been. But anyway, getting back to this, Romney is going in the right direction with what he did last night. And I have confidence that if he can pull it off and get the get the cooperation of both houses of Congress, our country will go in the right direction and the economy will go. The first things he said he's going to do is he's going to start bringing that pipeline down from Canada, which is going to create a lot of jobs. Yeah.
See, now, stuff like that. Now, that has a specific thing, but I guarantee you he won't do that right away. Because there's a transition period that takes some time, you know, and it'll take some time. And you just can't get in there and shoot from the hip like that. It would be irresponsible of any leader to go in there and just do that, because once again, we keep forgetting. There's 535 other people he's got to get a consensus on most of these things that they're laying on the table now, even if it's in general format or specific. He just can't get that stuff through. You know, so the idea is to say, you know, he should be more honest about it and say, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
But I'm one who likes to work with all parties, you know, be they Democrat, Republican, Independent, Libertarian, whoever has been elected.
Right.
Well, I will work with all parties to get this done. You can't do that overnight. You can't just go in there and say, oh, the first day I'm in there, I'm going to do this. That's a lot of embellishing. And let's, you know, it's like any job. Nobody can go into any job and start, you know, smoking guns right from the beginning.
Oh,
you got to familiarize yourself with the environment, you know, and there's protocol. Let me tell you one thing. There is nobody, and there never has been anybody, who can walk into the White House and be president the first day. I'd say virtually the first year or two is on-the-job training. There's nobody who knows how to be a president right from the beginning. There's a lot of OJT going on. That's why they have staffs of hundreds of people to guide them through. So, you know, we got to grab onto a sense of reality. There is nobody floating on a cloud coming down to save the day. These are just people like you and me. You know, and you know, maybe they got a little bit more education, but to me that's not necessarily an instrument of freedom there, education, because if you lack common sense, you know, then no matter how much you know, you're still going to be essentially stupid. So in my opinion,
right.
And you don't get, there's no plaque on anybody's wall that say I graduated from the College of Common Sense. You can't.
No.
That's life experience gives you that. And it all depends on who they are and what they went through in their life. You know, which is going to make that common sense a gift that they can exercise to all the people throughout the country. It's a roll of the dice every time we put somebody in there. But politics aside, Barack Obama, to me, politics aside, is a dangerous individual to keep in the White House. He just is. I truly believe he's anti-American. He's shown so many times in these last 4 years his favoritism towards Muslims. All the revelations are coming out now about that the Secret Service and such knew what was going on and what may happen in Libya.
Right.
He didn't do nothing because he's got an olive branch out to the Muslims, thinking that he, because his ego got in the way, and he thinks that he knows them, and because he's a quote-unquote brother Muslim,
mm-hmm.
that they will naturally go along with him. Well, they don't care two things about Barack Obama. They could care less. This is something. Now, if this was a Republican who let this happen in Libya and such with the consulate and everything, and Stevens being murdered along with those Navy SEALs, the media would have been all over him. This, once again, this honeymoon keeps going on. They're giving Obama a pass on this. But this is going to come out more and more that, you know, they knew about it. They didn't set up the proper defenses at the consulate, and just because it was 9/11 alone should have been alarm should have been ringing all over. He doesn't go to the security meetings. He looks at it. He looks at his own briefs on his iPad. He doesn't go to the security meetings, actually talk with the people. He doesn't want to be president in the sense of shouldering the responsibilities that go along with it. He wants the title. He wants the glory. He wants to be able to tell everybody what to do, regardless. You know, and that's why he fell apart last night, because people were telling him what he should be doing, and he just didn't know what to do. So this man is a danger to America, in my opinion, politics aside, through his own personal perspective. Everything you read about him, how he grew up, the people he associated with, you know, that is leaning towards the socialist, Marxist type of government. You know, I don't want that. I don't want that in America. You know, and for that point alone, people should get him out of office. Even though, you know, I'm not jumping up and down for any Republican, but just for that alone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing too, there was something. What was it he said at the UN? About people better respect the Muslim thing. The prophet. He said something about the Muslim deal, and pretty much saying we better support the Muslim or something else is going to happen. I can't remember the exact quote.
Prophet Muhammad.
No, that's pretty much what he said, Sally. That he basically says that he was talking about the blasphemy. And now people should respect the Muslim faith. And then he says these little incidents that happen are bumps in the road. And now, and which obviously the media doesn't reveal or present to the public at large, the military is furious with him. These
mm-hmm.
people who died, these Navy SEALs who died, are not bumps in the road. These are real humans who put themselves on the line. They had no weapons of their own. They were just—they were left defenseless by Barack Obama, not by the military, but by Barack Obama. And I say that simply because if he's going to take credit for Osama bin Laden, then he's got to take credit for the failures of what happened there with the lack of defending these people at the consulate. It's irresponsible.
Right.
Once again, the media is honeymooning with this guy and sacrificing America along the way. But,
well, guess
know,
what? I think now after this debate yesterday that the media looks like a bunch of dodos. And I'm saying it because more and more – I'm really serious because they kept backing him up for the last 4 years. People are now realizing that we have a president in there that doesn't know what the hell he's doing, and this means a lot of people. They had over 60 million people watching that thing last night, and I'm sure a lot of them have really hopefully a lot of them woke up to the fact that we do not have a president. All he's there for is fun, golf, entertainment, and maybe a little work once in a while.
No, to me, the games he says about the Muslim faith and how he's propping them up, I think he does know what he's doing, but it's not what we want. He's doing what he wants for his kingdom. He wants to be King Obama, not President Obama. So I personally think he knows a heck of a lot of what he's doing. And, yes, he does do a fair amount of his travel and partying and all that kind of stuff, too. That's a whole other issue. But just like this stuff, with what he said with the United Nations, he's out there and – he tried to say it wasn't a terrorist attack on 9/11, and you know, I don't know that he's that incompetent. I think he happens to want the turmoil. He wants to do whatever he can to build up the Muslim community and trash America. That's my take on him.
Part of that, once again, is the media, because through their silence, he believes he's getting consensus from them. He's getting their endorsement. When he does all these things, when he says these things, endorsing the Muslims, ignoring Israel, and he gets little friction in the mass media, in the major newspapers and stuff, he feels that's a consensus. So they're boosting his ego and enabling him to think that he is doing the right thing, and he's going to get little resistance from America because, once again, the media is endorsing this guy. But to what Charlie was saying, I wouldn't raise the victory flag as of yet. There's still some more debates. We don't know what tactics are going to go on. Romney could have a bad night, and then everybody would say, oh, look, Romney had just one good night, but the real Romney is who we saw in the second debate or something like that. We got to be careful. If you remember back to the debates Ronald Reagan had, he came into one debate miserable. He couldn't talk. He couldn't think of a single thing to say. And they thought it was all over. But then he came back into the next second debate, and he was just firing, you know, accurate bullseyes left and right. So he recovered. So I only bring that up to the simple point that there may be a recovery from Obama. Personally, I don't think so, because this man exists on a cloud of ego. He's all about himself. He can never look beyond that. So he may not take any advice from anybody and accept it. So, but we still got to be careful and not raise the victory flag. You need two more of Mitt Romney's performance last night to get through this. And for the VP debate, which is coming up next, I say bring popcorn, because Joe Biden's a loose cannon. And I get a feeling if Paul Ryan's on his game, he is just going to leave Joe Biden in rags. You got to be. So I think this is going to be, if there, any of them are going to be entertaining, it's going to be the Biden-Ryan debate, because Joe Biden he's the only person around who is self-inflicting pain on himself. His only enemy is the image he sees in the mirror. So it'll be interesting to watch Joe Biden trip over himself, which he probably will. And as you can tell, he's got a temper, so he may lose it halfway through the debate. So I suggest bring popcorn.
I got plenty of that.
The recent thing from Biden, when he said something about these people have had it rough for the last 4 years, that really was funny.
He's talking about the middle class, because, you know, Obama keeps trying to divide people. You know, so they were talking about the middle class, and now the middle class have been buried. That's why Mitt Romney used the term buried last night, because that's what Joe Biden said. He said they've been buried for the last 4 years, you know, and he used it last night. You know, and I'm sure a lot of people picked up on that last night. So, you know, but once again, Joe Biden, and they call it gaffes. A gaffe is something you may do once or twice. And during the period you're elected off or something like that. This guy is like every time he sees a microphone, he's got a trip, or his lips are tripping over himself. You know, he just can't wait to say something stupid. You know, and it's just a shame. Somebody who's been in office, this has got to be something that's been going on for years, but they've never talked about it. This can't be just an accident as a vice president. You know, he must have been... Yeah, he must have been tripping over his feet for quite some time, but people just let it pass.
Yeah, and he's from Delaware, so it's not exactly the biggest state, so he's got somewhat of a limited exposure.
Yeah, well, that's true, too.
Well, the only thing I was going to comment on when it comes to who to vote for routine, as people know, and I've got the damn mad Granny Fast out there in the chat room. She's got a few comments out here. I'll share those too. But the thing, you know, you can't trust 100% of what any of them say. You can't trust 99% of what they say. So that part, that's just a fact of this. And, you know, Romney can say what he wants to, but if he doesn't get the Congress to do and work with him, then nothing's going to happen. You know, it's that same old stuff. So that's nothing there. But the thing with Romney, it's the whole process of what the Republican Party did to corrupt the election. And I know some people say that that's not the important part. But I have a hard time promoting such corruption. To be somebody who would say it's okay that you corrupted the election like this. It's okay. We're going to vote for you because we don't like Obama. We hate Obama so much. We're going to say you're corrupt, but that's okay. That's okay. You corrupted our election, but that's okay. You know, and this is the part that people get totally annoyed with me. I happen to believe there are two better candidates who truly would be much more pro-American than either one of these two guys. Obama is definitely amongst the worst that's out there. I would never vote for him. And Romney, you know, if Romney would have been nominated through at least a halfway honest process, give me some reason to have some kind of faith and what this Republican Party stands for. Because, I mean, what they do and how corrupt they have been, they truly, there's no reason to have a whole lot of faith in anything that party would do, window dressing, because of the way they did stuff. So people don't like me saying that, but that's just the way it is. To me, to vote for what the Republicans have done is to say that I'm okay with them totally corrupting our elections, and I'm not. Let's see. Let me take a quick look at the various things out here. We aren't voting for a party. Yep. Yes, I know we're not voting for a party. But unfortunately, the whole reason Romney is there is because of the party. And then Biden was picked to be VP in name, not in action. He's been known to be a dunce in the past. Well, I just kind of figured that was part of the reason why Obama liked him, because when you're around Biden, he kind of makes you look smarter. It can somehow elevate yourself when you have somebody who can do such silly things. And then when it came to the pipeline, I think you were saying that Congress has already passed it, but Obama blocked it. So that truly is something that Romney should be able to do relatively quickly, because it was Obama who truly stopped it. But, of course, there's going to be an initiation process of getting into public office like Congress.
Yeah.
So,
well, I would say, Sally, as they always review his first 100 days, I'll say within the first 100 days, Mitt Romney can get that pipeline in full operation. But he said, like, he was going to do it right the first day that he's in. I mean, I feel like saying stop it. You know, the first day you're in there, you know, you're going to be looking at the place with your wife and deciding if you got to change the drapes or not. You know, I mean, let's be real. Or is the mattress too soft or too hard? You know, I mean, these are natural things they're going to be doing, because that's their new place of residence. I seriously doubt he's going to say, okay, family, go about your business. I'm going to go institute a pipeline. You know, that's not reality. The man, he's going to be on cloud nine if he wins. So, you know, it's going to be a couple days before he settles into place, and then then going to school starts, because everybody who goes to become president goes to school. I don't care what they say. You know, and that's just the bottom line. You know, that's the bottom line. They won't admit it. They act like they know the job already, and nobody knows the job. And I'd appreciate if they were a little more honest about that, you know. But on what you were just saying as a relationship to the better candidates, under normal circumstances, I would agree with you, Sally, 100%. And I would say, no, Mitt Romney, you know, let's go for somebody else. You know, let's look at the alternatives and see what they are. But because, once again, politics aside, because what I believe to be the danger of the man named Barack Obama to this country, that I'd rather get him out of office first and then deal with the likes of the Republican Party, you know, and that den of thieves. I think it would be easier for America to handle them than the direction or the path that Barack Obama wants to take this country. I suspect, and I'll go on a limb here, but I think I might be fair in saying that the Republicans want the United States of America to remain American. I think that might be a reasonable statement. I can't say the same thing about Barack Obama. He wants to distort this country, burn the Constitution in his own form or fashion, and I can't accept that. I cannot accept the path this man wants to take this country down, and the total socialism he wants to institute, which virtually will just make the Constitution disappear. I cannot accept that. And at this point in time, whoever goes in that voting booth has to keep that consciously in their mind. You know, forget about Barack Obama, the candy man who's giving all the freebies to everybody. You know, forget that. He's not the candy man, because it's your money and my money he's buying that candy with. And eventually it's going to run out. And then what? Then we're totally subservient to this new government, which will not be in any semblance whatsoever the United States government. So we have to be aware of that. We have to be aware. This man's handing out candy that money has yet to be printed for. And we have to stay conscious of that. He makes promises solely based on accelerating those printing machines, not because he has the money. Everything he does is envisioned with money that's not there. You know, and you think about it, if that was the budget in your house, how far could you keep buying stuff on credit? You just can't. And that's what we have to do in this country. We're not going to end up like Greece. or Spain, you know, looking, you know, shameful and disgraced. Why is it, and this was some of the things I can't understand, why isn't Mitt Romney talking about he's the only and first president to lessen our credit rating? I mean, why isn't anybody talking about that? He should have been slammed for that. He can't hang his hat on George Bush anymore. He's been a president for almost 4 years. He's got to man up and say, I'm responsible. If he could take credit for the few good things that have popped up in 4 years, he can certainly stand there and shoulder the responsibility for his multiple failures. That's just the reality. You can't keep talking about George Bush.
Well, and trust me, I'm not going to talk about too much about George Bush either, but we have to admit, when it comes to the total collapse of the financial banks and all the other crap in this country, it happened over a period of years with both Democrats and Republicans. This thing all started back with Clinton, with the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac stuff, and all this. And George Bush was one of the most guilty of saying, you know, how proud he was that more Americans had realized the American dream of owning a home. When he was doing that, because I work in the financial industry, I thought, just like a bunch of us thought, this is all going to come crumbling down because none of these people can afford these homes. They're going to live happy and feel great for a couple of years, and it's all going to come crashing down. And it's not going to come crashing down when the guy that's there who created that, he was all part of it. So Obama did inherit some of the crap. But, of course, you can't keep blaming it on the past. The other part,
undoubtedly,
I will say, one more thing. Let me get one more thing in here. The other part of this, and it's kind of like a two-part deal. You know, the Republicans, while they're not the pro-Muslim crap that you hear from Obama, and they're, you know, I don't see any of them trying to be King Obama routine, but when it comes to the Federal Reserve, United Nations, selling out this country to the highest bidder, every one of them do it. And that is something that people better think about with Romney, too, because he's got his own history. He likes the Fed, and he is definitely pro-United Nations crap. You got to realize that, you know, people better not relax if Romney gets in there. They better watch out what he's doing, because it is not just Obama who has been selling out the United States of America. It's a bunch of idiots, every color, every flavor out there that are in public office, and they all need to be dethroned. Trash every one of them. But, you know, so... It was George Bush who signed the Security Prosperity Partnership of North America that was going to create the North American Union. That was good old George Bush, who believes in one world order. So just keep that in mind.
Undoubtedly. There's no doubt about that. But the idea is Barack Obama is in office right now, and he's the furthest thing from any president I've ever seen in my lifetime. And the direction he wants to take us is far more extreme than anything the Republicans want to do. I say if we were to look at it as the greater or worst enemy, then I got to get Barack Obama out of office first, and then I'll deal with the lesser enemy. And then I think we can deal with the lesser enemy a little bit easier, you know, but than what we're dealing with right now. We got a guy in there who's president, who has the large percentage of the media. And as we all know, the media is a very effective propaganda weapon. We've always pointed the finger at countries like the old USSR and China and such, and other major countries, Germany especially. Propaganda was their main weapon. And when you got majority of the mass media out there voluntarily or involuntarily cooperating with this guy, they are weapons of propaganda. They're not giving us the truth. They are censoring everything or ignoring it. So everybody who's relied on the media in this so-called free press country that we used to cherish, you know, they think what they're getting from the media or what they're not hearing from the media is good. Well, gee, if we're hearing it, then we're not hearing the media object to Barack Obama, so he must be good. It's propaganda. That will shut down and become non-existent if we get Barack Obama out of office. And that's essential to the survival of this country. And right now I'm interested only in the survival of this country. And if I'm to point to the greatest enemy to this that survival, that would be the guy who's in office right now. He has to go. And like I said, under normal conditions, I would agree with you that we have to vote. You know, I'm a strong supporter of third party. But in this case, I have to side along, you know, and consider, like Charlie was saying, that, you know, for the survival of this country, for our very existence, this man has to get out of office. He's created a mass propaganda weapon that's been quite effective, you know, and that has to stop. Otherwise, we're on our way to a USSR or a Germany or a present-day China. Massive propaganda weapons is what they use. And it's always, unfortunately, been effective because the human creature at large is extremely gullible. So,
let me ask you one question real quick, because I think this plays into one other part, and then we do want to talk about what's happening here in Orange County. But the other thing, even with what Obama has done, when you have two houses of Congress who have not, in the, you know, you've got all the Republicans in their House of Representatives, and of course you've got more Democrats in the Senate, but you still got two houses of Congress who let him slide by all these things he's done too. That, you know, and that's the part where I get so concerned. And I want Obama out of there. Don't get me wrong. I do not want that guy in there. But I'll tell you, we better clean house in a lot of ways, because these other idiots that are up there right now, Obama should have been shut down. That's why you have two stinking houses of Congress.
Exactly.
But these other morons are just as bad as him. And they're not the ones preaching, with the exception of a few, they're not preaching the Muslim or whatever.
Well, then we vote them out. And that's why the Tea Party has got to rub that illusion out of their eyes, as some of them still embrace the Republicans, and they got to start thinking third party, and then they become a real Tea Party. Like I said, they boarded the ship of discontent, but then they ended up sitting down drinking tea with the enemy. So hopefully they'll wake up and they'll become a truly independent Tea Party and deal with the Republicans and start helping people get that inspiration, get that patriotism going again, and kick all these leaderless individuals out. The reason Barack Obama prevails at the White House, in part, is because we have cowards, we have weak, poor leadership. We have people who strictly care about their next term of office and are willing to sacrifice America at large because of it. These people got to go. They've got to go. And the Tea Party could be, hopefully, an effective instrument in making that happen. But like I said, they're going to rub the illusion out of their eyes that the Republican Party is the answer. Because they're not the answer. They've never been. They're part of the problem. They're just a den of thieves along with the Democrats. You know, and that's the bottom line. So hopefully, maybe that could happen. There's a potential possibility there once we get rid of the major threat to this country.
Okay. Well, I can't argue with that point. Any other comments you want on that one, Charlie, before we start talking about the crap happening here in Orange County?
No, he did real good. Let's go with the county stuff.
What's happening
okay.
in this beautiful Orange County? I can't imagine that. You mean
what
we lack leadership?
In, right? Well, let me give those who might not be aware a very quick update, and then I'm going to hand this over to you, Tom, because I know you've been thinking about this, and I have reached out to some people trying to get some people on the show, but with a late notice, just didn't quite make it. For those of you who are not familiar with Orange County, Florida, right here in good old Orlando, the Orange County, there's two different groups, or a group of citizens who worked on getting a public referendum for the county put on the ballot for November. Apparently, they had enough signatures and all those kind of things. They met their mandate to put it on the ballot, and the issue was they wanted to mandate sick pay by local employees in Orange County. Any employer who had more than 15 employees was going to be required to pay sick time for their employees. And I stress the point, from my own personal opinion, I did not think it was good policy. I think it's negative to the local economy. It will chase businesses out of Orange County, et cetera, et cetera. So I was definitely not a proponent of it. However, I am a proponent of the ballot box and what we're supposed to have and what are supposed to be our rights. Well, what happened with Orange County Commissioner? This starts with the Orange County Mayor, Teresa Jacobs, who I've never had any respect for, and then the Commissioner Jennifer Thompson, who I what I've seen her do lately is just beyond belief. Truly, two rhinos there. And then Scott Boyd, who's also a Orange County Commissioner, during the public meeting, when the Orange County Commission board of Orange County Commission was to vote on taking action on this thing to either implement it as a county issue or whether to put it on the referendum, and Tom can probably correct me on a little bit of that, but the whole point is they were having a public hearing, and the board was going to vote, and during this meeting, just imagine, during a public meeting, you've got at least three people sitting on that public board who you elected, the people elected, texting their special interest and their attorneys for how to bombard this thing, to derail it, to sabotage this referendum so it can't get on the ballot. They played games and manipulated the process to block a legal referendum item from the ballot. And again, I didn't like the referendum. I didn't like the item. I didn't believe in it, and I wouldn't have voted for it. But this is the way they corrupt the ballot box. And it was the same board who went out there and forced an item on the January ballot that was going to give them power to tax people. Excuse me, to give tax breaks to their friends. Okay, so back in January, they made sure they put a referendum item on a ballot that was a closed ballot, the presidential primary, where there would be low turnout, how they kept it away from the masses, from the November ballot, so that they could guarantee they would get it passed to give themselves power. But then when it came to the people putting something on the ballot, they totally corrupted the process in every which way they could. And then Mayor Jacobs, and I'm not sure about the others, but definitely Mayor Jacobs, went out there and deleted these communications. These communications were public record. They were openly, right in the public process, colluding with the private interests, the private sector. They were colluding against the interests of the people. All three of them belong out of office, should be removed. And I really do hope those two groups who were trying to get this on the ballot go after them in court. They really need to be removed. And then the other thing that just broke today is the supervisor of elections here in Orange County, Bill Cowles. He's a fossil. He's been there way too long. I happen to have my own personal experience with this thing, and we'll talk about that if we need to. But he is being charged with corrupting the elections as well, because voting machines were reported as not working properly, and he let them continue to be used. So he openly allowed machines that did not work correctly, voting machines that did not work correctly, he continued to let them be used. I know he did that in my election. So I know he's been doing this for a long time, but finally someone is coming after him too. So all four of these people have corrupted Orange County elections, and all four of them should be not only removed from office, but I believe they should be serving time and also paying a hefty fine. They should be bankrupt after what they have done to this community. So anyway, that's kind of my summary of what's happened.
Okay, and
Charlie, did you want to say anything?
Yes, I do. This is a violation of my favorite lawsuit, or my favorite statute. And for those listening, get this to the people who are involved in these violations. I'm talking about those who want to take action. 18 U.S.C.A. 241, conspiracy against rights. If two or more people deny, intimidate, coerce, or harass any other individual in the free exercise of their rights as afforded to them by the Constitution or the laws of the United States of America, fast forward, they shall be fined under this statute and imprisoned for not more than 10 years or both. That is the statute. You take that statute to the state attorney's office or to the federal prosecuting office, because it's involving the ballot box, which is owned by we the people, and you file a complaint with them. That is on Church Street, on Kitty Corner to the Amway Arena, towards the south. It's kind of like on the northwest side of the street, right there off of Church Street. But the thing is you go in there and you go on the second floor, and it'll be the prosecutor's office. You file a complaint with them. They've got the forms right there. You can fill it out and whatever information you have regarding this, and they will investigate it. The whole thing is you have them on a violation of your rights. And I'll tell you, when that law starts getting thrown out there, the elected officials in the state of Florida and in this country are going to go, because that is a federal statute. But that federal statute protects our ballot box and protects anything of fraud or anything kind of a conspiracy, because conspiracy is a federal offense. Bribery is a federal offense, and this could be bribery. So the whole thing about it is file that complaint and make sure it gets done, and get it done as soon as possible, because once they're served, they're out of that, they're out of office until the case is rectified.
And Charlie, when it comes to the stuff that happened with the Orange County commissioners texting the messages and blocking the thing on the ballot, I believe there was a lawsuit filed, but it got dismissed. I think they either filed in the wrong court or something. I don't remember all the details, but I do believe there was some kind of a lawsuit filed, but they're going to have to go redo it or something. But they definitely need to, and you know, when it comes to Bill Cowles, we somehow, some way, we've got to get some people out there to file that suit against him, because why should that supervisor of elections be counting our votes on November 6th?
No, it should be the people counting the votes. And also, why is it that Spain is counting the votes?
Well, that's a whole other story.
Well, just because they have the computer, they bought the computer rights from the company that developed the voting machines. We have to get it back to where we hand count them ourselves, and we the people count them. There's enough people that can be paid $10 an hour to count the votes, and they'll count them properly. I mean, there's ways they did it with the one election with George Bush and Gore. We sure as heck can do it on a local basis, too. But this is what we have to do, but we just have to create a stink and go after them and start going after them for every violation, such as their illegal retirement, because they are only part-time employees.
That's a different topic altogether right now.
I know.
I don't want to talk about them retired. We don't want to even get them in office so they can consider retirement.
That's right.
Okay. That's a different direction altogether.
All right, get on the subject then.
Stay on the Orange County corruption here. Corrupting. Yeah. This goes back to what you, Charlie. This goes back to what you and I did, called "We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment." Massive, massive corruption of that ballot box, and this is one more example of it. But okay. Anything else, Charlie, before we go to Tom?
Oh no, that's good. I'm glad you mentioned that. We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment. That will help in cleaning up the ballot box in the state of Florida and in the United States. But people have to get behind it and have the guts to go to court with it. Because Sally and I are busy with our other lawsuits. So you want to help us? Get in touch with us, or just sit on your couch, and then you will have no country at all. All right, let's go back
like
to the Orange County thing.
I'm going
back on speakerphone.
On my couch.
Okay, Tom. So what's this? Tom, you're not going to get off the couch? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm a armchair warrior. You didn't know that? I'm an armchair warrior. I direct the battles from my couch.
Hey, whatever works. Anyway.
But, you know, there's something that Charlie brought up, which is what we should do. It minimizes corruption. I mean, the human factor is always there, so we always have to deal with that. But all these new electronic hocus-pocus machines only allow new avenues of corruption, new avenues of hacking, new avenues of controlling the machine without even being in the room. We can't do that no more. And we got to go back to the basic, where there's only one machine that we can observe to corrupt, and that's the human. You know, and what we got now, the human who's doing the corruption doesn't even have to be in the room to make that machine falsify the votes or miscount them. We got to set up rooms Las Vegas style with cameras all around and people observing these people counting the ballots. paper ballots. That's what we got to go back to, because don't anybody think that these machines are secure. There's a lot of, and people can keyword this, I did it, and you'll find out that they state clearly and definitively, and there's only one avenue that they come out when they study and they result these things. These machines can be corrupted by anybody and anyone who has any sense of computer skills. So do not think there is any form of secure ballot counting machine when you go in there to vote. And as long as we entrust ourselves to machines, because when you entrust yourself to a machine, you become a slave to the machine. And we should never do that. You know, there's always going to be far too much room for corruption, for altering the vote. We got to go back to the paper ballot. And like I said, once these things are all put in secure boxes, then everybody goes into Las Vegas-style money counting rooms, if you will, and we count the ballots with other observers, not a single elected official touching, looking, or glancing at these ballots plus the absentee ballots, like we got in some cases in this municipality. That's disgraceful when absentee ballots can be counted by elected officials. They should not even see these things with binoculars. It should be totally independent citizens who do that. And that's what we have to go back to. But unfortunately, everybody swears by all these fancy hocus-pocus machines that keep coming out. And if anybody think we're going to be getting legitimate counts of the votes, then, you know, keep on drinking that Kool-Aid, because you're going to just only be fooling yourself. And that's the bottom line there. I'd rather just stick with one corrupt item, the human creature. I don't want to have the corrupt human surround themselves with a multitude of various corrupt machines that he can institute from a distance. You know, then he doesn't even have to be there. You know, plausible deniability. You know, this is what stinks about all this. Forget all these fancy machines, people. Go back to the basics. We have more control. Not total control, but more control when we're dealing one-on-one with the human creature counting the ballots. And I think that's what we have to go back to.
Well, let me mention one thing. For here in Orange County, I know they have some of the electronic machines, but they've been phasing those out and going back to these ones where you feed the paper through with the laser reader that counts it. And the way it's supposed to work is that you pick up your packet and you go into the booth and you mark all the things off, and then you feed it in, the voter feeds it into the machine, and then they're finished voting. Well, for those, some of you have heard some of this, I know on Fox News they've talked about it, that this is going to be one of the longest ballots in Florida history. This is the first time. They started out with 12 amendments to the state constitution, but now it's 11. They did remove one. But it's still massive, massive size, so it's going to take people a long time to vote. Even if you happen to know what you're going to vote for on each item, it's going to take you longer. But those who end up reading these amendments are going to take an hour in there, and then there's going to be a big line for you to feed it through the machine before you even once you finish voting, or you've marked your ballot, and then what you do to actually feed it into the machine. And they are anticipating a lower voter turnout in Florida, because people are not going to be willing to take the time because of all the crap they have put on this ballot. So that's just another thing to think about. And there was something about, this was the other part. You think about this now. They have been encouraging people to mail in, do absentee ballots because of this. And it's like, that is the absolute worst. Because they're so big, they're and a good old Bill Cowles, the supervisor of elections here, but Florida as a whole has been promoting that people mail in absentee ballots because it's so large and they don't want people to be standing in line. But I'm telling you, I have no faith in the tallying of absentee ballots. I think that's one of the biggest crimes there is.
No, I agree, and I gotta tell America at large, get off your rear end. If you want to vote, get off your rear end and vote on the day that you're supposed to vote. I am sick and tired of this lazy attitude of early voting, and absentee voting should be reviewed and restricted to strictly those that are going to be absent at that day, in this case, November 6th, and they will be unable to vote otherwise. that we've become such a lazy, lazy, and I'll say it again, lazy country. You know, I remember when the USSR disbanded and the and all these various countries broke up and they started having elections, they were so excited because they realized what they now have and what they didn't have, and there were lines around the buildings. For hours they would stand in line so they could enjoy the thrill of voting. And we have taken it for granted so much that we don't even want to get off our rear ends and get out there and vote. We want to stay at home, or we want to do it early. You know, pretty soon everyone's going to say, can I vote by computer? It's getting ridiculous. That should be something that you have to earn. And the only way to realize it, appreciate it, and earn it is to get off your butt and get out there and go to your voting district. That's the bottom line. Quit this early stuff. I want to vote when it's good for me and all this other stuff. And, you know, I can only vote on a Tuesday because that's the only day of the week I believe in, or some idiotic superstition you got. Nonsense. I don't want to hear it. You people got to get off your rear ends. Put them remotes down, turn your plasma TVs off, and just start doing stuff on your own initiative. That's such a thing. That's such an irritant to me that, you know, we keep expanding early voting. Before you know it, we're going to be voting in May for November. You know, it's just gotten out of hand. We've gotten too lazy. And what do? When we do that, we cry to these politicians who love to control us just a little bit more. And that's the only time they'll agree with us and do something, because they want to be able to control you. And we sit here like idiots thinking that we're doing something good. And you're not. It should be that one day that the election is called. And that's when you get off your butt and you go out and vote. So I think I've beaten that one to death a little bit. But you got to realize it, people, you know. It's not laziness that made this country. And if you can't get out there and exert just a minute little bit of energy, and maybe you have to wait in line a little bit, then, you know, you don't deserve it. Freedom is not something that is free. You got to earn it. You got to strive for it. You got to pay the dues. And if you're not willing to do that, well, you know, there's ships going so many different countries, and you could take one of your own choosing. But the only way we're going to restore this country is if we start working for it. And I think, like I said, I think I spoke enough on that issue.
Yeah, it's the truth. It's freedom isn't free. You got to be willing to participate in the process. And it's because we have failed to participate in the process. We have failed to sacrifice the time and turn a stupid football game off and do what we're supposed to do as citizens that we're in the mess we're in. And, I mean, I hope and pray every day that there's still time to turn it around, but people have got to get engaged. That's all there is to it. And then we go into anything, you know, talk about totally corrupting the election by these idiotic public servants here in Orange County. Can you just imagine the nerve and the arrogance to be sitting there on the board with the room full, the chamber was full, with people participating in the discussion of the public meeting / hearing for this referendum, while they are sitting there texting their friends on how to bombard it and getting pressure from special interests to not vote for this thing. The whole thing is just so outrageous. And I don't even see why. It shouldn't even be a question. They did it. Why are there no charges against these three people for doing this? This is definitely unethical.
Well, you know, from what I read myself, Teresa Jacobs was in a mental turmoil over this whole thing, like saying, oh, what should I do? What should I do? So she sought outside advice from somebody who I believe used to be a lobbyist in conjunction with Disney. And I may be wrong about that, but that's what I believe I read about this individual. But it was clear that she was asking for advice to stall, to delay this. And she was acting like she was in such terrible mental strife over this. And like you said, Sally, there was no strife. There was nothing for them to rethink. There was nothing for them to do except to follow the will of the people. How unique in this country. We can sit there and we can pound the podium and talk about how great this country is, as most of these politicians do, and then when it comes to exercise it, they refuse to do so. And that's what happened clearly in this case. These people got the 50,000 signatures plus. They got the required signatures to put this on the ballot. Now, the employees of Orange County, who call themselves the Orange County Commissioners, refused to acknowledge what the employers did through initiative and referendum. Initiative and referendum is essentially when, and this is what irritates the politicians, when the people take back a small portion of the authority we've given to the employees, a.k.a. county commissioners, we've taken a small portion of that power back and we exercised it. But there were standards these people had to meet, and they met those standards. They got the required signatures. Now, the only job that Theresa Jacobs and gang was supposed to do was to say, thank you, we reviewed the particulars, you met the standards, and we're going to put this on the ballot because that's the will of the people. But no, they could not follow the will of the people. They could not honor the Constitution of the state of Florida or this government at large in the United States. No, they couldn't do that, even though they took an oath of office. They denied these people through devious tactics of stalling. And that's what one of those text messages was, where she was seeking assistance and advice from an outsider who had no business about this. And he texts her and says, well, tell them that you have to examine the wording and review the wording to make sure it's correct and stuff. That's strictly a stalling tactic. These people got the signatures. It's beyond Orange County commissioners. They have to surrender and acknowledge what these people did. Yet she refused to do that. So she came up with this tactic of stalling and delaying. Well, what that stalling and delaying did was it went beyond the date that this ballot could be printed up and installed in all the machines. So that's how they denied these people what these people legally were supposed to be granted through devious, unprofessional, unethical practices. And it's sickening because these people exercised authority under their constitution, authority which reluctantly these county commissioners refused to acknowledge. But they had to acknowledge. So they use these devious tactics of saying, well, your wording, we have to examine the wording to see if it's suitable and it's comprehensive. Garbage. That's garbage. These people got 50,000 plus signatures who understood clearly what the wording was, and they wanted this on the ballot. Now, I, along with Sally, would have voted against this because I don't believe that you're allowed to do that. You accept the job, you sit in the interview, and you understand that you don't have these sick day benefits, and you take the job. Now, suddenly, you're working at the job, and you want to change the rules. Well, these are private companies. You can't do that. Yet these people wanted to do that. Many of us. I grew up in the blue-collar world. You knew going in you didn't have sick days. You may get sick on a Thursday. Well, you hope that they will allow you to work on a Saturday and you make it up. I did that for over 20 years. No benefits. I knew it going in. These people didn't have benefits. And that's the way it works. That's the reality of life. You're supposed to at least, at the very least, appreciate that you got a job. But now we don't do that anymore in the new America. Now we ask the boss, who is supposed to be appreciative that he's given us a job where we can earn a living and go out and buy the things that we need for our family. No, that's not enough. Now we want our boss to pay us when we're sick. Well, that's ridiculous. If you want a job like that, there are various institutions you can apply for. It's in the job description when you look at the jobs. And you say, okay, I'll take that job. They got benefits. And then at least you know going in. You can't go in after the fact and then say, Mr. Bossman, I want to change the rules. Well, if you want to change the rules, go out and create your own company. So for the very ethical practice of it, these people are wrong, and I, as Sally, would have voted against this. But these two organizations had joined forces to get these 50,000-plus signatures, to get this on the ballot through initiative and referendum. I will support them to the end for what they did, though I don't support the direction they wanted to go in trying to get these sick days. I will support their constitutional rights to do what they did, to get that initiative referendum, to get the required signatures, to meet the standards, so they can essentially tell their employees, a.k.a., once again, Orange County Commissioners, that, well, this is something we want. And if you refuse to give it to us, then we're putting it on the ballot, and we met the standards. And their employees are supposed to say, well, thank you, we did review it, you did meet the standards, it goes on the ballot. And that's the way it should have went, plain and simple, because that's all it is. They make it complicated. They make you feel like they belittle you at public hearings, making it sound like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. These are the practices. These are the rules. These are the statute. Well, they complicate it. They make it intentionally complicated because they want to maintain ultimate control, even though we, the people, are the ones who have the true control. We've merely leased that authority to them while they're in elected office. They refuse to acknowledge that. And this is a very pure, very clear example of subverting the constitutional practice which used to make this country an honorable country. It's just going on so much now. It's an infection that goes on at every level of government that it's sickening. Now, I hope these people pursue this. I hope they bring them to court, because this should have went on the ballot. These people did the honorable thing. They didn't try to go out there and do anything crazy. They didn't try to break the rules. They went out there, they did the honorable thing, and they should have been recognized for that by their employees, the Orange County Commissioners, and yet they didn't. So this is a despicable performance overall. It overshadows everything that this country is supposed to be about. It's a nasty, dirty cloud that hangs over Orange County, because this is one of the times where it's been exposed and revealed. Who knows how many other times this has happened, and it just went away quietly. So I would like to, and I hope that Sally can get these people on the show, and everybody should stand by and listen for Sally's announcements. I hope she gets these people on the show, and we can discuss this further and see how we can help them, because I want them to be able to pursue their rights and their freedoms. I refuse to acknowledge any of these despicable performances by Orange County. Though, in the end, I would vote against it. But just to let you know. Anyway, once again, I got to step off this soapbox.
Tom?
Tom? I think I'm here.
It is treason that they have committed, and this is the second time that they have committed treason against the sovereign government. The first time
I wouldn't necessarily call this treason. They breached their obligatory duty.
They overthrew the sovereign.
I wouldn't call this treason. You know, there was no outside enemy to the United States that they actually colluded with. So I wouldn't say it was treason.
No. I'm just saying
they breached their duties.
The overthrow of the sovereign is an act of treason. It doesn't have to be in a time of war or anything.
There was no attempt here to overthrow. There was an attempt to circumvent the due processes, you know, and I'd say they breached their oath of office. I think there's some really serious ethical questions here. And then they tried to conceal it by deleting their text messages, even though they became public information and accessible to the public when they used those instruments during the practice of government. So, you know, but the treason, no. That's really stepping out there. You know, she wasn't texting Vladimir Putin to get advice on how to delay or stall this.
But she is denying the people their rights according to the Constitution. So they're in violation of 18 U.S.C. 8241 there.
Okay, we'll save that for the lawyer show.
Right.
You know, we'll save that for Charles Klein Esquire.
And that's also for the commuter rail, Sunrail. They violated 18 U.S.C. 8241. They should all be put in jail for 10 years and that includes John Micah.
Well, one step at a time here. We went from Orange County to the railroad. They may all be jumping on the railroad to get out of town, but
that's
I don't
right.
know if we want to include
that. They can
that.
Only get 60 miles away from us, though.
The thing that gets me is it's so blatantly obvious of what they did. It's definitely a breach of their oath of office and their fiduciary duties. They were colluding. I mean, it was very obvious. They were colluding with the private sector. Now, she felt like she needed advice. Then she should, or these people were talking to her in public communication on a phone because they couldn't be there, to me was a whole other story. Then she should have been saying, okay, I'm getting some information from so-and-so here, and here's what they're stating, and put it on a public record. That was the intent. The intent was to deceive. The intent to manipulate the ballot box. It was to block the rights, deny these people the rights to put the thing on the ballot. So everything that they did, all the three of them, was against the public interest. It was they were in gross violation of their duties, and I don't see how I just don't even see how anybody can say it's not illegal. What they did is definitely unethical and violated what their purpose of that job is. When you go out there and collude with the private sector against the will of the people, against the public interest, so that just annoys me. Yeah.
You know, Sally, stressed point here is that everybody knew time was of the essence. So
right.
to them, for them to reach out, strictly seeking external advice on how to stall this, not to how to accelerate it, not how to get this through the process. They know what that is. They just didn't want to do it. They wanted to figure out how to stall and delay this because they knew time was of the essence. If they could stall this just a few days, they're going to go beyond that day, that point in time where this cannot be printed in time to be put out for on the ballot. And that's what this was all about. Time was of the essence for these organizations that presented their referendum and the required signatures. And instead of honoring that, as the employees should have done, instead, and you tell me what institution in this country, what private institution can the employees tell the employer what to do and then to refuse anything the employer says? You'd be fired. Anywhere else except in America's government. Anywhere else, if your employer says, I got the required signatures here and you work for me and I want you to process this and put it on the ballot. Now, if we were the employees and we turn around and says, well, no, we're not going to do that. We got reasons why we can't do that. We have to delay this and stuff. You'd be fired, plain, pure, and simple. Any institution, any private institution. But in the public forum of the United States government and its various levels of government, the people you elect suddenly have overthrown all the practices and principles of this government and said no. I'm going to refuse to acknowledge my employers, and I'm going to do what I want to do. So, and the fault is because we've been apathetic over the years, and we've allowed them to have too much of the authority that we grant them. And this is the unfortunate results. So this is something that, and once again, I want to stress, I really hope you get these people on the show. And all the listeners should pay heed to any notices you send out. When you can get them on the show, you know, and because I think this is worthy of discussion. It is a true example of what we should not do in government or what government should not do to its people, you know. And Orange County, right now, Orange County, Florida, as far as I'm concerned, has become the poster child for what not to do in America. You know, so I just find it really irritates me. I find it despicable, and I don't know where this is going to go or how this is going to be pursued. But I would like to say, come January 1st, and Lawson Lamar is no longer in office, I think we may have somebody that may be interested in this and may want to address this. So that's the one hope, one window of hope I have for this county, that hopefully this time around we might have actually somebody in there who's going to put a stop to all this local abuse of ethics and oath of office.
Well, you know, you think a couple of the other pieces that play into this, and on a I sent out an article about this. I called it Orange County Teresa Jacobs Impersonating a Public Servant. It's the manipulation of the ballot, because I can see, and you're right about Lawson Lamar, who knows what he would do at this point in time. He doesn't do a whole lot. So if they wait till after he's out of there, and the fact that no matter what they do, it's going to be a major amount of time before they have a major election again. This was obviously a presidential election. This was a key ballot to put something like that on, because of all the traffic you would get. Wanted two things, you know, they first off, their special interest did not support it. They were not getting, they were their friends in the private sector, the Chamber of Commerce, Disney, et cetera, et cetera. So here they're trying to keep their special interest friends, close friends, is what one report said, happy. And then especially, you know, in this Orange County, when you're going to be running for re-election, the last thing you need is for something to happen that's going to chase jobs away, because you need to, you want to show that everything is going better. So getting this there and getting it passed, the risk of the pass would definitely have been a negative to anybody running for office again. So you think about the various reasons they were blocking this, so political, so self-serving. So even if, well, whether it be Lawson Lamar or whoever else might be in there, if they go and say, yes, you're going to be allowed to put it on the ballot, now putting on a special ballot doesn't stand nearly as much of a chance of getting passed. And the same is true of, you know, even on the midterm election, stuff like that. So the fact that it's not on the November ballot is a very, very big deal for those people. They had such a bigger chance of getting it passed on this ballot, and that these people were willing to sacrifice our process, our government, our system, because they wanted to support these other people much more. It was more important to disqualify the whole process. I mean, it's, and again, I just don't see how anybody can say it's not illegal. How is it not illegal to be doing? What they did, the public records, the whole piece of it, it's despicable. And so I'm with you. I hope you do seek a legal remedy to it. Sorry, I'm tied up in too many other various legal issues now, but if you're out there, give you time to talk about it and sign on some kind of support for it, too, if you do, whatever. So, because you need to do something. You cannot allow them to corrupt the ballot box as much. Charlie, I don't know if you want to say anything more about this or whether we're ready to go ahead and talk about what Bill Cowles has done, too.
No, I'll switch it over to Bill Cowles, because the thing we have to do, and I've been thinking about it while Tom was making all those comments, maybe we need to send or go down to that Orange County Commission meeting and just make a comment and let them know about 18 USCA 241. Verbalize it and get it on public record that we're watching them and we're fed up with it. That might be a good idea to do that.
Well, whatever works to try to get the message out there, but personally I'd rather see, several hundred people up and say, we don't appreciate your corruption and we call for your resignation. And if that doesn't work, then you go through the legal process. Those three people do not belong on that board. They are corrupt.
They are
not working
unless
they're working for the special interest. They do not belong on the board. And there's something seriously wrong with this process if we cannot get them removed for what they have done here. And, of course, the same is true for Bill Cowles.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I mean, even if we put it in Facebook, 18 USCA, and just say Orange County Commissioners, some Orange County Commissioners are in violation of 18 USCA 241, conspiracy against rights, and blah, blah. And then that's it. And I'll put it in Facebook, and maybe we can send it to them and email it to them, because I've already emailed it to them once, but they seem to be ignoring it. Well, what is it? Thompson, Jacobs, and who else? Jacobs, and who else?
Scott Boyd.
Scott Boyd.
Yeah.
So that would be
B-O-Y-D.
Okay, but what's his district number?
Oh, I'd have to go out there and check. I don't remember off the top.
Okay. Well, I mean, if we go ahead and send him that thing and say, looks like you're in violation of this statute, and then send it to him.
Well, here's the other thing that gets me. If I'm not mistaken, Scott Boyd did not have anybody challenging him in this election, so he was elected in the primary. So he's already been reelected. Nobody should be re-elected in the primary. But I believe he was running unopposed and has already been re-elected to another term in the commission.
Oh, because he had nobody opposing him. Okay.
Correct.
And
of course,
that's a violation of Wagner versus Gray.
Well, it probably wouldn't say that in Wagner v. Gray, because if nobody was opposing him, he would be elected.
Oh, yeah, I think that covers it in Wagner versus Gray, too, where he's safe on that thing.
Yeah.
All right.
But anyway.
Let's go with Cobbles now. I want to hear what you got to say about that.
Okay. Well, it looks like Tom has had to leave us. Maybe he'll get gone here. But, yeah, with Bill Cowles, now, for those who aren't aware, I ran for the Orange County mayor back in 2006, which, trust me, I praise the Lord that I never got elected. It truly was a blessing in disguise to be elected. And as I was campaigning, too, it was so funny. So many times people would say, you're too honest. You're too honest for the job. You have to be a sleazeball, scumbag. We can't have anybody honest in public office. This is what voters are saying. You're too honest to be it. So anyway, it was a very learning experience, and it taught me a lot about the whole process and how corrupt the elections are. But during my election, this was against Mayor Crotty. It was also a game played with a primary ballot, a whole other piece of the corruption of the process. But during the actual election, it was proven that the electronic machines were being used. A person who was voting for me, it kept coming up with Richard Crotty's name. And he was the incumbent Orange County mayor. It kept coming up with his name, with me. So they went and pulled the machine and said the machine was not working correctly. Who knows what they really did. But it showed. But it was never reported in the media anywhere. And which was what I was going to mention. I was going to ask Tom you too, Charlie. How much have you seen any of this stuff reported in the media? What's happening now? I have seen a fair amount on this crap with the texting messages. I don't know if I would say it's been covered enough. And of course, the thing with locales has just kind of hit. But I'm really kind of curious of what you think. If the media is properly covering, telling what is happening. And in my own case, when it happened to me, the media would not report on it. They nothing, absolutely nothing. And we had people sending complaints to the Elections Commission, Ethics, Florida Ethics Commission, various things. They would do nothing about it. And it was proven. I mean, it wasn't me. It wasn't anybody I even knew. It was somebody who was voting for me who made the complaint public and wouldn't do anything about it. So now this thing, locales, what's happening right now, same type of thing. The voting machines are malfunctioning, and he does not retest them. He lets them continue to be used, knowing they do not work correctly. So how is this not illegal? He is facing charges now. We'll see what happens next. But he should not be in that office during that election on November 6th.
No. I mean, if the machines are malfunctioning and he doesn't do anything with it, then he knows what the malfunction is caused by, and that's probably caused by it's a hacked machine, and it's not counting properly. It's counting for the benefit of somebody else. And what it is we have a culture of corruption in Central Florida. The grand jury has noted that, but, you know, the man behind it all, I believe, is Lawson Lamar, because he has done nothing to do the correction, and the FDLE has done nothing to investigate this culture of corruption after it was brought on by the grand jury. So now it's getting to be in the news about this corruptive ways, and I think it's going to go, because I did hear something about it on, if I'm not mistaken, I heard something about it on Fox News, because I was listening to them most of this afternoon.
Okay, because I haven't heard anything about either one of them on Fox News. I've heard about the Orange County Commission and the text messages a couple of times out there on various things. But the one on the supervisor in elections, it's I've got this article, or I should say an email to it. But it says, we can follow, charging him with county, Bill Cowles, Democrat, Orange County Supervisor of Elections, who did not follow the proper state statute for retesting a voting machine when it failed to tabulate the correct ballot total before the August primary. That should truly wipe out the August primary. They should have to do a re-vote on the primary. We need an honest voting process. This election cannot be trusted to Bill Cowles follow through correctly when charges for improper procedures are held against him. In all fair disclosure here, Dan Finelli, he's the Republican who's running for the Orange County Supervisor of Elections. And, but you know, I have every intention of voting for Dan. I will not vote to reelect Bill Cowles. I wouldn't have done it anyway. He is the one who actually filed the criminal complaint against him. At least that's the one. So, let's see. Yeah, you got some thoughts on it?
No, I just happened to see the email with his name. I was looking for his email address because I wanted to send him. I was thinking about sending him the We the People deal, We the People versus the ballot box, showing him that there is more corruption that he might want to take on, because I think it would be good for you. It's always good to have something else, some more additional information. And also the Wagner versus Gray would be great for him to get too. And we just got to get something to him in email, and I didn't see the email there, so, or his address, so I didn't know how to send it to him. Because that just might, just a little blurb on there, Dan, this might help you with that lawsuit, because the statutes are unconstitutional in regards to the Republican Party and Democrat Party receiving money. And the thing is with all of this stuff that's going on, I really have hopes that people are waking up now, you know, to what the wrongs are in our country. And after last night, I think a lot of people are taking a second look at the way they voted last time. I don't know if, did you see the focus group after with the Frank Luntz?
No, I didn't. Mm-mm.
It was extremely interesting. They had people who had voted for Obama.
Most
of them switched over and said they're looking for at Romney compared to Obama now. But let's get back on the local thing. The 18 U.S.C. 8241, I think, is one statute that needs to be brought to the attention of Dan, who's running for office, because I think that might help him in his case. And also we need to get the We the People versus the ballot box to him, too, to say, here, this is information we have that might help him in his case.
Well, we're building a case against the corruption of the ballot box, and what he's doing adds to it. So Sorry, what's that?
No, I'm just saying is that because if he's filing it, and he has that 18 U.S.C.A., he'll see that it's conspiracy, because now with what they've got with that collusion between Teresa Jacobs, Boyd, and Thompson, and also the Commerce, the heads of the Commerce Department?
Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, Chamber of Commerce and whoever else she was doing.
Those are two separate events.
Oh, they are. Well.
Well, I mean, it's the Orange County Commission was blocking putting something on the ballot, so they were over here corrupting it from that side. Bill Cowles was over here allowing the vote to be fraudulent or bogus calculation, tabulation of the votes by the machines not working right. And who knows how much he knew, whether the machines were reading the votes in a certain way, whether he intentionally left it that way, whether he was paid, who knows? I mean, there's all sorts of things. For him to sit there and say, I know this machine doesn't count right, but we don't care. We're going to let it go because it's going for the right person. But we don't. Or whatever.
Well, yeah.
So
yeah, no, I'm saying, and it could be, it's going to the right person, and again, it could be one of those that they corrupted or that they hacked.
No, I'm saying it's going to the right person. Bill Cowles wants it to go to.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So, anyway, that's so it's two different cases. So, the both. That's the whole point. Yeah, everything they do to corrupt this ballot box, there is no honesty in our elections. When are people going to accept that and defend something? Which is, again, why we did the case. So the whole complaint, we the people versus the ballot box. We are
right.
denied the representation of our choice. It's as plain as that. We are denied.
Yeah.
And we're denied it in so many ways. The political parties have their stranglehold on things. Then you have people who are in public office. This is why you should not allow anybody to be in public office as long. Bill Cowles, he would never got away with this crap if he hadn't been a fossil of that office where they just figure he's a shoo-in again and everything else. I really do hope Dan gets elected. I don't
yeah.
want, you know, anybody who's been in office more than one or two terms, they don't belong in there anymore.
Well, yeah, just like Congress. They should have one term in Senate and 3 2-year terms in Congress. That's 6 years each, and that's it. And no retirement, no special deals, and no high pay. $6,000 a month, and that's it. That's $72,000 a year, and if they don't like it, don't run.
Supposed to be about that's, public service.
That's right. That way they'll be a public servant instead of a public hierarchy. But,
okay.
you know, you got to get people off their butts to do it.
Well, true. This is true. Let's see. I'm seeing what else. This June article, voters react angrily to requests for new signatures by Scott Powers and Kathleen Hagney. Stated in the presidential Bill Cowles said his office rejected 119 absentee ballots because their signatures on the ballots not adequately matched the ones they had on file. Cowles, a Democrat, acknowledged to seek fresh signatures is tied to the law, which requires closer scrutiny of absentee ballots. He said the initiative was his own, not something ordered by the state. Okay, according to a personal supervisor of elections office that I was connected with by phone, 208 absentee ballots in the August primary were rejected solely on the comparison of signatures voter registration form to an absentee ballot. They did not tell me the breakdown of Republicans and Democrats. Okay, so anyway, various things going on here. The first one was making reference to statutes for retesting the voting machine when it failed to get the correct ballot total before the August primary. So they knew they had a machine that was malfunctioning, and they continued to use it anyway. He doesn't belong there. He should be thrown out of office.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And none of the machines should be touch-tone. They should all be like we do. We fill out the form, the hard copy. The hard copy goes in, and all the machine does is count the hard copy of the blocks when you connect the lines. And then that is the only safe way to do it. That way you've got a hard copy, and then if we don't like the way the machine is, we suspect the machine in any district, we just go ahead and pull all of those out and just hand count them. And I think that's what
exactly.
we're going
to
have to do.
We should always be able to validate it. And going back to what Tom was saying, machines are controlled by the human individual, and the ones because of human beast corruption that can go on and everything else. You should always have two ways to vote to calculate the vote, which kind of thing about sending our ballots over to Spain. The whole thing is outrageous. Does the average American truly have any faith? Processes. I mean, it just seems like such a sham. But you know, I'll go down and I'll vote. I'm going to do my job as a citizen of this country.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, as an American, and I'm going to vote like I'm supposed to. But I tell you, I have to wonder how much my vote truly, truly counts when you see all the corruption at all the various levels. And now to expect a foreign entity to calculate and to control our vote. It's outrageous.
Well, has that thing been finalized? Has it been finalized?
Yes, well, I'm pretty sure it is, considering the vote. The election's only, you know, 1 month away, 30 days from now.
Okay, well.
So I'm pretty sure it's all settled.
Then I think what we need to do is we need to go ahead and count all of the hard copies, because I know there are some places that run it like we do, and count all of them to make sure that the machine count is correct. Because that way they do it by district. They do it by precinct. So we could do we could check our precinct out to make sure it's done properly. And besides that, how come it's not on the mainstream news? I think that would be a perfect example of denying ABC, CBS, and NBC their FCC license, failing to inform the people that their votes are being counted in Spain. And that's a violation of the laws.
Well, what I the other part of this is like, okay, when they're doing this in Spain, is it strictly the presidential, the federal stuff, or is it all of it? The local, you know, the whole thing is just nuts to me, because obviously you have different, all these local and state elections too. So.
I have a feeling that it is only those machines that are tied to the company that makes them. Because Spain, I think, a company in Spain bought the machines, or the company that manufactures the machines here, and therefore they're giving the right to count those. But I don't think they have all of the machines in the country. Therefore, And that's why I'm thinking this might just be for the feds. But the thing is we can go ahead and start doing a hand count, and just go up to cowls and all that and say, okay, what's the procedure for the people to go ahead and count the vote, which we have a right to do? What do we have to do? Do you have the space where if we get enough volunteers, we can come in here and count them? We want to verify the counts. I mean, that way
we could go over there tomorrow, if you can, go over there tomorrow and tell Bill Cowles you want to do something like that. See what he says.
Just to see what he says, yeah. I was thinking about doing that.
True the vote. Yeah, I think, remember, there's true the vote.
True the vote, yeah. I said, I'm going to get in touch with True the Vote and suggest that we do a sample counting of the various precincts, and I want to find out how you handle them. Do you keep them separate so that if we want to come in here, we can count this precinct, that precinct, and check the numbers to make sure that the machine's doing the right thing? That would be a nice thing to do, wouldn't it? I think I'll do that. Okay.
Yep, it definitely needs to be done.
And I mean, we don't have to do every one of them. We can just pick certain ones, you know, like a controversial area where there is somebody that is running, like John Micah's area. We go in his area and do that to see just how many votes he gets compared to the Democrat, to see if the machine's been compromised in any way. That would be a good one to do it at, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, and of course, it'd be multiple precincts and within the district. But, yeah, I mean, go through, and that's, again, that's kind of what Through the Vote does, goes out there randomly.
Yeah. Okay, I think I'll do something like that. Okay.
Yeah. I think it would be a great idea, because I just don't, and if the charges aren't taken against these other ones, too, I don't know. It's so disgusting. And, I mean, yeah. I wish I had lots of time and money, because I would be happy to file these different lawsuits, but I can't do them all, that's for sure.
I know. We got enough going right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
We got enough going right now.
Yep. So we need to get other people out there. But when it comes to the county commissioners, I do believe the two groups will go after them. And apparently they did file some kind of suit, but it was dismissed, and something about it was in the wrong court. It sounded like they were going after the wrong court.
They may have gone to the federal court, and the federal court may have said, no, it belongs in the county court.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even though the ballot box is federal, it is handled by the state. The ballot box. It's a state function, because the feds have nothing to do with the state function. So that's where we will have to take our complaint, we the people versus the ballot box, to the state.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And we need, again, I still, it's my own fault. I just don't have enough time to do everything, but I have to contact the FBI again because they have never responded to us on that complaint. We the people versus the ballot box. Totally, totally disrespect for the people to say, you know, you're just a peasant, so we're not going to with you. We don't have to respond to you. You're just a peasant. But that isn't quite the way it is. So we both need to send them certified letters requesting for an update on it. And if I had time, I'd go there during the day. But surely a certified letter will be better to have a record, a public record, that they received it and they either responded or didn't.
And then, you know, they may have looked at it. They should have responded one way or the other, because even if it's not a federal issue, they could have come back and said, this is not a federal issue. Take it to your county.
Well, they didn't even do that.
It's still government.
Government corruption, as you said, they investigated in Ohio. So they had we know they had the jurisdiction and the right to investigate it. Once again, it's political. It's not about doing the right thing. It's about corrupting the process any way you can. And that's part of the FBI, unfortunately. They're part of the process, too, and they're part of the problem.
Right. Yep.
Okay, let's see. What was the other thing? Okay. We really haven't touched on any of the amendments. I don't know if we're going to get to any of them, but just to make sure everybody heard what I was saying earlier, I kept saying 12 amendments, and what's happened, there's 1 through 12, but they deleted, I think it was number 7, where they canceled one of them. So there's technically only 11 amendments, which I say only, and there is a big concern that people will not go because, one, they don't want to take the time, it's going to take a lot longer. And two, they're just going to say, well, this is just too much. This is, you know, all they want to do is check off a person's name who they decided, and they don't want to have to think about anything else. And we know, as you and I know, everybody's busy, and there has been no coverage on these things. Have you heard any of the news media, local media, talk about these amendments?
No, because I usually don't pay attention to the local news media. It's mostly fires and that type of stuff with a little fill-in on that. So it's a minute and a half, and I'll hear about it at the Legion or from other places and all this. And
I watched some local news, and then I bounced around with Fox. It was Fox News that I heard mentioned two different times about how big this ballot was and how they think it's going to chase away voters, create local turnout. But I haven't heard anything on the local news where they were debating what they were or anything else. Maybe, I don't know. I'm kind of curious.
I get the local news when I'm listening to the talk shows, like on WDBO. I'll get the 5-minute updates and that type of thing, and they usually cover a pretty good variety of stuff. And when I'm watching the news at night, you know, they come in with sometimes the news, and sometimes I'll click on to one of the local channels for a few minutes to see what they're talking about and see if there's anything interesting. Most of the time I happen to hit it, it's always talking about fire, traffic, and all this type of stuff. And to me, that's not the news.
Yeah, and so you yourself have not heard anything on the local news talking about these 12 different, 11 different amendments?
Not really.
We've got the other 5 or 6 or whatever it was of the county ones that are out there. Can you imagine how many people, and what I was kind of getting at too, is how many people won't might even know there's all these amendments. I mean, because some people won't even open their sample ballot if they get it in the mail, which I still haven't got mine, by the way.
I got mine.
So, yeah. Well,
I got the green one. I got the green one with the 7 on it.
But that's just the county. So I'm talking about the full-blown sample ballot that I typically go through and mark up the way I want it. So when I go in there, I already have everything. And I don't think about it once I get into the ballot box.
Right.
I just mark stuff.
And that's supposed to that's only supposed to be done in the English language too. Supposed to be done in Spanish.
Yeah.
Because we are an English-speaking state, according to the Constitution of the state of Florida.
Well, in Fox News, they were talking about it was in Spanish and Creole too.
Well, it's not supposed to be. I mean, because it's a federal, deal, that federal part should be in two languages, but the state part shouldn't.
Right. Well, hey, yep. There's another question for good old Bill Cowles down there. Tell him why he's violated the state statute.
That's right.
He controls that Orange County ballot. What?
Yeah. Well, I'm saying it's probably done all over, but if you take a look at it, like the driver's licenses, that's state. They're in English. They're in how many other languages are the driver's license information in?
Yeah, but technically, the supervisor of elections, from what we heard with Jim Duffy, technically it's a state office, but it's for the county district, so to speak. So it's actually a state position.
Yeah.
And also, he oversees it because they obviously county and referendums are going to have other stuff on it, too. So, at any rate, there's no excuse for it. It shouldn't be, he should be liable for that, too.
Right. But I'm just saying, the state says English-speaking state, and then they turn around and they have a lot of stuff that's printed in foreign languages at an additional cost to the taxpayers, and they don't have to because we're an English-speaking state. And that's
including
it.
Including the websites.
And they can put it in the website and people go there and read it. We don't care about that.
No, I'm saying they pay to have two versions of the website. Go out there and see if you can't pick it in Spanish, too. How much do you think it costs to have two websites, two, you know, parallel systems out there communicating it both ways?
Yeah. Well, that would have to be taken up with our legislators as to why they're violating the Constitution of the state of Florida.
Yeah, most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, I think Bill Cowles definitely needs to go, and I'm surprised Tom dropped off because he probably had a few more things to say about that stuff.
Well, I'm planning on voting for Dan Finelli.
Oh, yeah. Yep, Bill Cowles has been there way too long. We've met Dan Finelli at various events. I've always liked him. Don't agree with everything he says. I think he's a decent person, and Bill Cowles, he's been there way too long.
I think Dan would make a darn good supervisor of elections.
Yep. So let's hope. And so you're going to contact him on this other stuff. So and tell him he's invited to come on the show and talk about it. Let him know. You can come on the show and talk about what's going on with this lawsuit.
Well, I got to find out Dan. I got to get Dan Finelli's email address first.
Well, I'm pretty sure he has a website. Most candidates have a website.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be too hard to do that.
Uh-huh.
And, in fact, I probably have his email, too. I thought I had sent it to you, but I can send it to you again, or you can go look for his website. But either way, we're down to 3 minutes.
All right. God bless America. God bless our troops. And we'll talk to you Monday. It's your country, ladies and gentlemen. Sit at home and do nothing, or get out and get involved with the various tea parties and processes out there if you want your country to be good for your children. The debt you have is caused by reckless spending. Put new people in Congress every 2 years and every 6 years and every 4 years, whatever the case may be. They do not have to be professional politicians. We need statesmen, not politicians. God bless America. We'll talk to you later, Sally.
Good night, Charlie. And on that note, thank you for tuning in. Please, as Charlie said, please get involved. Do your part. You're part of this country. If you're a true American, you need to be participating in this process. You need to support the Constitution. You need to support our state constitution as well as federal constitution. We cannot keep sitting on the sidelines while our country is being destroyed in front of us. It truly is up to we the people. Take back our country and our rights. And we've got to hold the state of Florida accountable. We've got to hold this Orange County Commission accountable. They are not above the law. As Charlie was saying, we need American statesmen. We need statesmen and stateswomen. We do not need career politicians. The career politician is the cancer to our country. It is truly the bigger threat than Al-Qaeda could ever dream of being. So we've got to oust these people out of office. Please help us. Get involved. Do your part. Take action. Join us at the from the UN rally on October 20th in Tallahassee, please be a part of the process, be a part of the solution. On that note, may God bless and protect the United States of America. Have a good night.